welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Doing good.
Good. It's that holiday season and winter time is here, and that means colds, and that probably means asthma for people like me.
And me. And you.
So we're picking stories here. You've got one here looking at a drug, triotropium. It is a drug that is used once daily. It's inhaled anticholinergic bronchodilator. It's been evaluated for use in severe asthma. It has been used in the past for COPD. It's not included in any of the guidelines for asthma at present. You're looking at a study that asks the question, in adults with asthma that's poorly controlled by a steroid and a long-acting beta agonist, does adding tiotropium improve clinical outcomes? This is a study that was published this year in the New England Journal. For those that want to see it, it was published in volume 367, pages 1198. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, the researchers had done, there were two industry-funded trials that were essentially identical, and they had a total of over 900 patients. And they enrolled adults who were had at least 5 years of asthma, who were diagnosed before age 40, and who were still having symptoms even though they were getting a long-acting beta agonist, or the equivalent of 800 micrograms or more of budesonide daily. They all had an FEV one of 80% or less and an FVC less than 70%, even after getting four puffs of albuterol. So, you know, these are folks who were not well controlled on their current treatment. The average age of the patients was about 50 years, and most were non-smokers, and most had less than three exacerbations a year, but all had to have had at least one exacerbation in the previous year. They randomized them to get either the adding 5 micrograms of tiotropium using a mist inhaler each morning or a matching placebo inhaler. And what they saw was, and really what the article focused on was, improvements in some of these disease-oriented measures like the FEV1 and the FVC, the sort of the pulmonary function things. But, you know, hopefully, as our listeners know, we don't get too excited about disease-oriented surrogate type of outcomes. We say, hey, did they feel better? Did they have less exacerbations? And really, the primary clinical outcome that they reported was the change in exacerbations or severe exacerbations, which was really very small. They defined a severe exacerbation as a 50% worsening in symptoms that required increased steroids for at least 3 days. And what they saw was 0.53 exacerbations per year in the tiotropium group and 0.66 in the control group. So wow. It sort of spread that out. That's one fewer of these what they call severe exacerbations after 8 years of treatment. And, you know, they call it severe. I guess to me a severe exacerbation is one that puts you in the hospital or has you go to the ER. Those are sort of how other studies have more typically looked at it. But even if you go with that definition, it's still not a terribly impressive improvement. And so, you know, the bottom line is adding a tiotropium mist inhaler to people whose asthma isn't adequately controlled with a steroid and a long-acting beta agonist only gives you a small reduction in severe exacerbations.
And again, just to point out that what you said at the beginning, these are industry-sponsored trials, and this is an expensive drug. But they did look at some patient-oriented outcomes that matter here. The question is, do you know specifically what this ACQ-7 score is? They had talked about using that, and I'm assuming it's a patient-oriented outcome composite score of some sort.
Yeah, it's a quality, it's an asthma-specific quality of life score.
I see.
Go ahead.
So is it something that a patient would answer, or is it something that are a bunch of physiologic parameters and hospitalization?
No, this would be something a patient would answer. There was no difference in those as well. And the other thing to keep in mind, and this was pointed out by our colleague Dave Slauson at the University of Virginia. He is one of the folks who writes the poems and didn't write this one, but he sent me a comment that he pointed out there had been in the British Medical Journal last year a study of a meta-analysis looking at the same drug, tiotropium mist inhaler, in patients with COPD, and they found a number needed to harm for all-cause mortality of about 140. So they actually saw increased mortality in those who were randomized to tiotropium. This study did not see that. It wouldn't be powered given the population and the number to find that kind of a difference. But, you know, there is that concern that long-term use of this drug may be harmful. Again, caveats are that it was a somewhat different group. It was older patients with COPD, not somewhat younger patients with asthma, but still same drug, and at least should raise some concerns. Yeah, I mean, it does kind of beg the question, okay, what do you do with these folks? And, you know, options, I think there are a couple of options. One is obviously increasing the dose of the steroid. The other is adding something like a leukotriene inhibitor. You know, that's another option that is, you know, been well studied and appears to be safe.
Right. Although, again, if I remember your poems, only moderately, it isn't a home run either.
That's right.
Okay, Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk with you next week for another poem.
All right. See you then.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.